Welcome to the Breach Podcast, a Charlie Mike production. I'm Ty Braxton, and I just want to say thank you for taking the time to listen in today. I discuss issues surrounding us and how to build our faith and strengthen our walk with the Lord. I want to provide you with tools so that you can Charlie Mike. Charlie Mike is better understood as continue mission, and I want you to be able to Charlie Mike in your own mission field. And before we get started, hit the like button, subscribe, and hit the bell notification so you can be notified of future videos that I post. And also check out our shop. The link will be in the description below. And if you'd like to partner with me and donate, that information will be in the description as well. In 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." Last year, I went into a prayer meeting and I was going in frustrated. Depression was trying to creep in, and I felt abandoned by some close friends and family members alike. And I knew I couldn't do this, Charlie Mike, on my own. So I told God, "I just don't understand, God, what you're doing. I don't understand when you're going to do it. I always want to know the when because I like to plan accordingly." But we all know God doesn't really work that way. So I asked God, I was like, how are you going to do this through me? When are you going to do this through me? I said, "God, I don't understand." And when I quieted myself, I heard a voice in my head that said, "I did not call you to understand. I called you to be obedient." So if anyone listening has tried to talk me out of what I know God has called me to do or try to discourage me, know that this is not an attack. This is me explaining why I'm doing what I'm doing and why I'm remaining faithful in it, why I want to keep pursuing the things of God and pursuing obedience. There are those who will come after this work, and I pray that they will pick up this torch of spreading the gospel and continue to challenge believers to keep striving for the things of God. And I hope this is an encouragement to anyone else who is experiencing a struggle, no matter what season you are in. Now, we need to remember that we do not use the teachings in the Bible on seasons as an excuse for being lazy in what God commanded all of us to do. We are to be obedient in every season. And in that obedience in the season, there will be seasons of Ecclesiastes 3:1 through 11. And that scripture talks about there's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck what has been planted. There's a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, to cast away stones, to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. And it just keeps going on and on. But I don't ever see there's a time to be obedient and there's a time to be disobedient. That's not in there. In every season we are in, whether it's dry or full of rain, we need to remain obedient. But sometimes our circumstances will be different according to the season, but our obedience will remain steadfast. We cannot know all the work that went in by those who came before us that paved the way to where we are currently, and we will not know all the things that God is for us to do in the future. Right now in the present, we cannot know all the places he will call us to right here in the present, but we can see where he wants us to be obedient right now. That will eventually lead to those places and things and people. But to get to the fullness of all that he calls us to in the future, we must be obedient in every season, the now, which will also pave the way for those who come after us. Now, will it be easy? Absolutely not. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be difficult. There is no easy path here. The only easy thing to do is say yes when God calls you to something. It's easy to say yes, but sometimes it's difficult to go through the consequences of our obedience. We must strive. We must push through the resistance that does come our way when we are obedient and even face persecution. We may never face persecution like that of Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his own family, by the way, falsely accused when he was in Potiphar's house by his wife. And after that, he was forgotten in prison. But that should show us if Joseph could do all the things he did in obedience in those circumstances, we can keep walking in obedience in our circumstances. In Galatians 6:9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Working in the fields is tough, gets hot. You got to keep planting those seeds. You may get dehydrated. Drink water, rub some dirt on it, keep going. Proverbs 10:5 says, "He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." Proverbs 20:4 says, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing." And finally, Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Not our purpose, not our desires, not our will. But our transformed mind will show us our new desires that go according to God's will. We must die to self and live for his will, not our own. And this topic kind of falls in line with the argument that we should pray for God's will concerning things that we already know are God's will because they're shown in the Bible. There are specifics that are not in the Bible that we need guidance on. Like, we may need help deciding which job to take, praying for God to guide our steps through the day so he can place us in specific places to minister to specific people. But we should never pray for God's will to be done in the matter of sickness, sharing the gospel, casting out demons, or gathering together, because it clearly states we should already be doing these things, being obedient in these things. And many times people think they can get everything God has for them in a prayer line at the altar, but you don't get obedience in the prayer line. You get it at the front line. We pray against difficult times when that might be the very thing God is using to catapult you into the next season, to take territory for the kingdom and spread the gospel, that harvest season. Stop praying for an easy life. Stop praying for a carefree life. Pray that hell will find you a worthy opponent, enough of a foe that you are worth the devil's attention, so that he would try to stop you. And when the victory comes, the only one who gets the glory is God, because he used someone like you, someone who could not do it on their own. The apostles never got a season that many weak Christians pray for. If we look to the examples of Christ and the apostles, we should be praying for hell to show up in our lives so that the gates will fall, so we can pull those inside the gates out of eternal damnation into an eternal life with the one who gave his life. Nowhere in the scripture does it say to be obedient in one season and disobedient in another season. It just says circumstances will be different according to your obedience. Obedience is always in season. Just like whatever is not eternal is eternally useless. It's worthless if it's not eternal. The world isn't interested in this theology because the world wants control of your life. And if it goes against the God of self, it will try to make you out to be crazy. So people are blinded to your fruit. It says in John 15:5-8, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." We are not branches of this world. We're not branches of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We are branches of the tree of life. There will be fruit because we are disciples. Disciples don't follow selfish desires that are led by feelings and emotions and their own deceitful heart. They kill that. Daily, as Paul said, we are supposed to be living sacrifices, which means we must live a life that puts ourselves on the altar to die so we can live in Christ. Because only when self dies can we take on the attributes of a transformed mind given to us so we can be led by the Holy Spirit. This is when it's easy to follow because we're not trying to do things through our own weaknesses, but we're able to follow through His strength. This will make the world even more angry because it doesn't possess that strength. So the world will hate you and the world will get people to turn on you, even those close to you, just like Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery because they did not appreciate what he was telling them. Now later in John 15, verses 18 through 20, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you were not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever had someone say you need to wait on your dreams or what God has called you to do? Now, why would they do this? I'll give you some reasons. They don't see the same thing that you see, so they don't believe it. Sometimes your obedience is an inconvenience to them, and they just want you to do what they want you to do to make their life easier. They will say it's not your season because you aren't getting the result that they expect on their time frame by your calling. Your calling isn't producing all the things that they expect on their time frame. God is never late, but we will never see Him show up in that thing if we follow the worldly understanding, the worldly expectations, or the worldly timing. If difficulty is removed from the path, it is a false gospel. People forget that you plant in one season and harvest in another. Not everything is done in one season. It's hard work sowing, and it's hard work reaping also. The harvest isn't done unless the reaper goes into the field. It is a calling to go. Now, a book I've been reading called Ministry Is, the author says, God pours out His favor and power on those who are willing to go. You cannot truly be a follower of Jesus until you are willing to go. You are not truly following Jesus until you are intentionally going for Jesus. Now, what I notice is this, and we'll continue with Ministry Is in just a moment, but the last words Jesus gave to His disciples were the same words God had given to the prophet Isaiah. Go and tell. Remember, Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." God told him to go and tell. Now, in Ministry Is, it goes through some of the Bible characters. If we search through the various calls extended to the characters of the Bible, several characteristics become clear. And there's nine here. Number one, the calling originates from God. God approached them to fulfill a task before they approached Him. Number two, the calling was often a seemingly impossible task. We see Noah build a giant boat. We see Moses deliver a nation from slavery. Then there's Joshua, fill the shoes of a legendary leader who was Moses. And we could go on and on with that. Number three, the calling involves leaving a comfort zone. Two big ones, Moses and Jeremiah. Number four, the calling is accompanied with the promise of God's protection and provision. Number five, the calling comes to those who are listening. And we see this especially with Samuel. Number six, obeying the calling unleashes our personality. We see this with Gideon and Timothy. Number seven, a calling may take a long time to be fulfilled. It's not going to happen on our time frame, guys. I wanted to know the when discussing Charlie Mike. People around you want it done on their time frame. A calling may take a long time to be fulfilled. Abraham was called to father nations, but his child did not come until he was 99 years old. Joseph was called to be a leader, but he was in slavery in prison for the next 12 or more years. David was called to be king as a teen, but he lived as a fugitive until he was 37. Number 8. The calling may seem intimidating and hard to understand at first. Ezekiel. Number 9. Running from your calling hurts you and others. We can see that in Jonah. One thing you'll notice if you're walking in obedience, there's an increased intensity in your desire to answer the calling in your life while walking with the Lord. But also with this intensity is a consuming conviction. So let's continue in ministry is. The financial compensation rarely matches the work given. Those with the calling can do nothing else. They will be inwardly miserable otherwise. They have a consuming conviction and compulsion. They have a driving passion. Those with the calling feel like they cannot do anything else. Now, being obedient can be a little discouraging sometimes if you're not seeing any fruit. Or you're having those around you giving you discouraging words, or they're even trying to be super spiritual and say that it might not be your season. Because once again, they may not see the progress that they expect on their time frame through your calling. So look at the Bible characters one more time. Did God tell Sarah the same thing he told Abraham? No, he didn't. What about Paul? After being stoned, Paul could have said, well, this is really, really hard, and maybe it's not my season. After being shipwrecked, Paul could have said, well, if God wanted me to get there, he would have allowed me to not get shipwrecked. Maybe it's just not the season. Maybe it's just not the season to reach the lost and to be obedient. Paul could have used this excuse a number of times, but Paul knew that hardships don't define the season. But it just proves that seasons can be hard, and we shouldn't look for a way out of obedience or look for a way to an easier life, which is everything opposite of what is in the Bible. In Confident Pastoral Leadership, I read, one word of encouragement. The Lord rarely lets a pastor, let's say servant, see how much good he or she is doing. When you feel the most discouraged, God is probably using you in the greatest way. Be faithful. God will take care of the rest. Now, I love that because it reminds me of 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says, therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There are people waiting for you to be who you are called to be. Stop praying for someone else to be the answer to your prayers. You are the answer to prayer many times, which makes you the tip of the spear that is thrust into the darkness of loneliness, trying to attack a person. Will we intercede as a watchman on the wall of shields, taking territory that loneliness has taken? What about fear? What about suicide? What about poverty? You may think you are not equipped, but you will be if you would answer the call in the season you are in. Don't wait for the season to get easier. Don't hide behind the baggage like King Saul did. Don't hide behind your financial situation or circumstance. Don't hide behind your family, your job. Don't hide behind your yard work or your sporting events. What is the thing or things you are hiding behind? Could it be your schedule? What about the fear of failing? This one's odd because failure implies that the calling isn't going to get completed if you are obedient. But if you don't answer the call, if you're not obedient, it means you're placing your failure in concrete. It's permanent because you never even attempted it. So the thing that you're afraid of, you're setting it in concrete forever. And concerning those who try to discourage us or have no faith in our calling, are you hiding behind their doubt because they have no faith in your calling to begin with? Because they aren't even walking in theirs. There are people that are going to say, you don't have to do all that to be a good Christian. Why are you doing so much? Your obedience will reveal their cowardice. That's why they don't want you to be obedient. That's why they don't want you to do more than what they're doing, because it will reveal a life of disobedience. The people telling you to relax are the same people that are holding you back. They are a hindrance to the things of God. Those close to us can create a bigger storm than the world ever will, because we look to those close to us for affirmation, which would be okay as long as it affirms the calling of God. So don't make the storm bigger than it is by minimizing God. If you're looking for affirmation from those around you or from the world and not from God, that's what you're doing. You're magnifying the storm and minimizing God. God commanded it, so he will enable and qualify you to do it. Your problem is not big enough to intimidate God. Keep the faith like Abraham. He couldn't see it. He couldn't understand it. He probably wanted to quit at times. He had the faith. And what the cool thing about faith is, it prophesies the future. Oswald Chambers, in My Utmost for His Highest, wrote, "Whether I hear God's call or not depends on the condition of my ears, and exactly what I hear depends on my spiritual attitude. If we will allow the Holy Spirit to bring us face to face with God, we too will hear what Isaiah heard, the voice of the Lord. In perfect freedom, we too will say, 'Here am I, send me.' We will get noise from all around that will try to fill us with doubt about our calling and how miserable our lives will be if we are obedient." That's the funny argument that you'll get from the world. Oh, your life would be better if you did things our way instead of God's way. But you're missing out on all the promises. You're missing out on a life of freedom. But that's the thing about sheep. They follow the voice of the shepherd. So are you following the voice of the world and letting the world be the shepherd? Or are you following the good shepherd? Are you following his voice? So let's go back to that phrase I mentioned earlier. Whatever is not eternal is eternally useless. And I've heard some pastors say it's eternally out of date. And what I've noticed is that all that the world offers are things that are eternally out of date. But our calling will create things that are eternal. We cannot be self-seeking. We must be seeking the kingdom first, because God wants to do something through you instead of that self-seeking theory that God just wants to do something for you. Now, when you have people that you're doing life together with, they will start to see God working through you, and it will take time away from them sometimes because you may be ministering in another area or volunteering or just serving, and they will see how difficult that calling is for you and how difficult it can make their lives. And remember, Abraham got the calling, but Sarah had to walk with Abraham. And it wasn't down the road. It was a difficult journey. So stay vigilant when the enemy tries to infiltrate those close to you with visions of their own opinion that do not support the call of God on your life, but it's backed by their own opinions on how things should be. Pretty much saying God made a mistake and that those opinions are what God meant to accomplish when he called you. It's manipulation in its truest form, which is also the form of witchcraft, and in the form, it's also a form of a domineering false teacher. Nobody has the right to change your assignment to bring a life of worldly comfort. Be sold out, not a sellout. Can you be bought by something that will keep you from your calling? We all have to ask this question. So let's ask another question. How will hell rejoice? We did an episode on this a while back. But will hell rejoice because you are finally out of the fight here on earth? Or will it rejoice because you sold out to the enemy instead of God? Don't let your desire for security, worldly security, keep you from your assignment. There is a sacrifice that is required, and we see that in the ministry of Rees Howell. His wife refused to go with him in ministry because it wasn't the life she expected him to provide for her. She couldn't see the fruits of his labor or the financial security that God would provide. She would always say, "Why can't you get a regular job like the rest of the Christians?" So I'm going to pause right here. Is your hope found in your bank account, or is your faith found in God? Is your security found in God or in your bank account? going back to Reese's life, his wife later rejoined him after she saw the provision because of his obedience. It reminds me of Thomas and seeing Jesus in John 20:29. It says, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This applies to our calling. We may not see it. We may not understand it. We may not know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. But if we believe and walk in obedience, then we will see the provision. Goliath didn't fall because David had enough money. And David wasn't obedient because he had enough comfort to feel secure. His security was in God. God's promises are conditional on our obedience. The promise of water required trenches. The promise of provision required to gather the oil and the jars. The promise of salvation required repentance and making Jesus your Lord. We see this throughout the Bible. You are called to be set apart. You will go against the flow and you will look out of place. The reason you are going through what you are going through is because the world isn't ready for you. God is getting you ready for the world and the world ready for you. He is preparing a place for you. You may feel defeated, but you are not defeated. This is where I am, but not who I am. You don't fit in anywhere else because God is carving a place out for you. Stop trying to figure this all out on your own. Stop trying to come up with your own methods. Tony Evans said, God doesn't need human methodology to help facilitate a divine plan. Now, I miss being in the Army. Many people won't understand that, but I miss the brotherhood. I miss the hard work. I miss the training. There was a lot that I missed, but I don't miss it because it catered to me. The commander never started off his day wondering, I wonder what I can do that would make Ty's life better. No, the commander was concerned about the mission more than the individual's comfort. He cared for our welfare, but not our comfort. There's a difference. He cared for our provision so we could complete the mission, not so we could be comfortable. We're in the army. We're in the army of God. The war doesn't care about your comforts and personal schedules. There are seasons of opportunity that have come and gone, and because of our disobedience, those seasons passed unfruitful. But there are seasons that are coming upon us. And those who use their level of comfort as a measurement of when they are supposed to be obedient and answer the call in that due season will miss the call. The blessing for obedience to that call produces no fruit because the equipping never happened in the season of sowing. So they miss out on the season of reaping or the season of harvest. Don't miss out on your season, no matter what season it is, because each season prepares you for the next season. Just because this sowing season is difficult, don't neglect it, or you will not have a reaping season, and you will miss out on your harvest. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ and are ready to come to God, we at Charlie Mike would like to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But first, we want to be clear. Praying a sinner's prayer is not a ticket into heaven. These are not magic words. You must follow Christ and live for Him. You cannot receive salvation by your own merits, but by what Jesus has already done. Ask to receive the Holy Spirit to be filled and experience what God has for you. You will not live the same life, and you won't be able to keep Jesus to yourself if you become a Christ follower. 1 John 2:4 tells us that the one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar. Those commandments are to love God and to love others. If you love God, you will follow Him. And if you truly love others, you will want others to experience God and give their lives to Him as well. So if you are ready to pray, pray this. God, I ask for forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for me, and nothing I have done wrong is too great for the power of His blood that was shed for me. I am ready to forsake the world and live a changed life because I realize how much you love me. I love you and am ready to live for you. If you made the decision to surrender yourself to God and follow Jesus, I encourage you to spend time daily with Him in prayer, reading His word and worshiping Him for who He is. Much will be revealed to you in this time with Him.
Be a part of a community of believers who grow in the fullness of God's word and join a church that does the same. Get involved and stay accountable with each other. Also, please let us know that you made this decision by emailing us at charliemike.me@gmail.com or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/charliemikeinternational.